Today, I'm going to be speaking on hypocrisy, as Mr. Link mentioned. It's something that's spoken quite a bit about in the Bible, whether we realize it or not. Neuinger's Bible Dictionary had this to say about hypocrisy. It says, "Hypocris, which is a Greek word, signifies the part taken by an actor, hence an outward show. Hypocrisy is professing to be what one is not, and is generally applied to religious character. It's also forbidden for a Christian. Also under hypocrite, a double person, natural and artificial. The first he keeps to himself, and the other he puts on as he does his clothes to make his appearance before men." So we can state a couple things about those who are hypocrites. They will say that they believe something and may even go through with some of the actions of a Christian, but in reality they are lying. They are lying to themselves and to others. Now, as we know, lying is forbidden in the Ten Commandments. Merriam-Webster said that there are two types of hypocrites. One, a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. So these are two separate types. The first type falsely does good or pretends to be pious. And this first type is mentioned a lot of times throughout the Bible. You can start with the father of hypocrisy, 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 12. Actually, we'll start in verse 12. "But what I do, I also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded, just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So we see that Satan is the king of hypocrisy, and that there are people that follow after him who are able to speak smooth words that sound good, but they mix truth and error so that it sounds good. But the error is there. But Paul had to contend with people in the church at his time that were like this. Some of them high-ranking hypocrites. The fruits of these type of people is what we should be considering. Now, the Pharisees could be counted among this first group. Christ had a lot to say to them. If you turn to Matthew 23, we're going to read Matthew 23. We'll start in verse 1. And we'll go to verse 12 and then continue on. "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on a man's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And now we're going to read verses 13 to 33. As we're going through these verses, we come across eight woes leveled directly at the scribes and the Pharisees by Jesus Christ. So in verse 13 it says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make himself twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.'" Verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." Verse 27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you are also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Verse 29, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." So we can see or note two things here. The scribes and the Pharisees were, as Christ called them, hypocrites. And two, that the hypocrites were in a woeful state of condition. Christ said that their case is miserable while they live, their religion is vain, and when they die, their ruin will be great. So now we will go through and kind of see what Christ was saying to these men. In verse 13, he says, "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." You know, they did all they could to keep people from believing in Christ and his message of and about the kingdom of God. The scribes and the Pharisees, who did sit in Moses' seat, pretended to have the keys of knowledge. And they did, but they ought to have contributed their assistance with opening these scriptures of the Old Testament, which pointed out the Messiah and his kingdom. And they should have expounded the writings of Moses and the prophets and show how they testified of Christ. Verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation." You know, one of the things that they were aiming at here was to make themselves richer. And because this was their aspiration, all considerations of justice and equity were laid aside, and even widows' houses were sacrificed to this end. You know, they devoured those whom by the law of God they were particularly obliged to protect. Now, there is a woe in the Old Testament to those who make widows their prey. Isaiah 10 in verse 1 and 2 says, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortunes, to rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless." And then on top of this, to add insult to injury, they would make long prayers for people to see how righteous they were, how great they were. That's not to say that we can't have long prayers, but they should be in private, to God, not for men to see. Verse 15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." You know, while they were such enemies of the conversion of people to true Christianity, they were very industrious in the perversion of them to their faction. They would shut up the kingdom of heaven, but at the same time, they would compass the sea and land to make proselytes to themselves. But we know God is the only one who can call people. Yet these people, these men, made great efforts to get people to convert to their way of life for their own satisfaction. Now, Paul himself was a Pharisee and knew from experience just how they operated. Acts 26:10 and 11 says, "This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities." He was one of these proselytes, and he went after the church with great enthusiasm. But we know that God did call him. Verse 16, Matthew 23. "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it." Here they were seeking their own worldly gain and honor more than God's glory. They led people into the dangerous mistake, particularly in the matter of oaths. It says, "You blind guides." They allowed swearing by the temple and by the altar. And on top of that, they said some of those that were sworn were not valid and therefore didn't have to be kept, unless they were sworn by gold of the temple, and then the people would have to keep that oath, and the gold would go to the Pharisees. We see Christ's answer to this behavior clearly stated in Matthew 5 and verse 33. Matthew 5 and verse 33 says, "Again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than that, these is from the evil one." Very clear, plain and simple. Don't swear. In verses 23 in verse 24, we see that the Pharisees were very strict when it came to the tithes that they were supposed to collect, mint, anise, cumin. But they were careless and loose with the weightier matters. They were partial in the law, and they would pick and choose what was right in their own eyes, according to how they were going to be affected. Now, they were well-versed in the Old Testament books, but because they were hypocrites, they were blind to scriptures that should have brought their actions to light and caused them to change. They acted out of selfishness. Malachi 2, verse 7 through 9 says, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way, and you have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law." Verse And then Matthew 23 and verse 25 through 26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, so that the outside of them may also be clean. As we have mentioned before, these men were desirous to appear to be good men, to approve themselves. And they thought they saw everything and knew everything, but they were blind to God's true way of life. Now, they ought to have been cleansing their own inward self rather than worrying about so much about pots and pans and these little things. Mark 7 and verse 6 through 9. Christ here is speaking. He says, he answered and said to them, the Pharisees, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your traditions. Verse 27 and 28 of Matthew 23. Christ calls them whitewashed tombs, who on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Now, they couldn't stop pretending to be good men. Well, they could have, but they didn't. And so they weren't even fit to live, really, as Christ here is saying. And then in verse 29 to 33, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because you build the tombs of prophets and adorn monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. You know, they say that they wouldn't have murdered the prophets as their fathers. Yet, as we have seen earlier, they were blocking the preaching of the true gospel, and then in turn did murder Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to tell them they were witnesses against themselves. And he ends by asking them, how can you escape the condemnation? We read earlier in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 20, Christ says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, these were serious words and warnings. Now, perhaps had they followed the Beatitudes found in verse 3 through 11 of Matthew 5, they wouldn't have been called hypocrites. Moving on to the second type of hypocrite is the one who says one thing and then does the exact opposite. If you will, turn to Romans 2. Romans 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, doesn't matter who judge, for in whatever you judge another you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. For we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impertinent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his works. Verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on everyone, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to anyone who works what is good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law, they will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves, who show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves through thoughts, accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God, and know his will and approve the things which are excellent, being instructed out of the law. You therefore, verse 19, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of the babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And you who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of the God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Perfect examples of the second type of hypocrite. So how can we avoid being hypocrites? And if we're not careful, it's easy to fall into this trap of being a hypocrite. Now, Peter committed a type of hypocrisy, saying that he didn't know Christ at the time when Christ had his trial. Matthew 26, and verse 69. Matthew 26, 69. Says, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, something he should not have done, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by and came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. And then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Now he didn't realize what he was doing until after he had done it. And then, when the rooster crowed, he remembered what Christ had said, and he was remorseful. I think this is a prime example for us because it shows how easy it is to be hypocritical without even thinking about it. Now the fact that Peter was remorseful is significant because it shows that this was something that was not being done on a regular occurrence for him. It pricked his conscience, made him think. I don't think that people intend to become hypocrites. They probably start off with good intentions, and along the way their moral values somehow get off the track. Now, because we are born as human beings, compromise is inevitable for those people who play with temptation. If you keep dancing on the edge of the abyss, you're eventually going to fall in. It takes Christians who are honest and humble enough to know their limits. Now, the Apostle Paul gave some good advice to the Thessalonians on how to avoid becoming a hypocrite. And he said to them in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. We notice here that he says that Christians should not only abstain from what is wrong, but also whatever appears to be wrong, whether to yourself or to others. This is good advice to follow, because at times we fail to use proper judgment in avoiding sin. But that is where we need to realize, like Peter, to turn back, to be repentant and to cease from our sin. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. First Timothy 4 and verse 1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now their conscience is seared after they continue in hypocrisy. They lose the ability to feel the difference between right and wrong. This happens when we don't repent and when we continue to dabble with sin. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. See something a little different here. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish in every good word and work. Establish you in every good word and work. We see here there is no room for hypocrisy if we have been chosen for salvation. Rather, we should be establishing every good work and work. Good words and works are the opposite to hypocritical words and works. You know, they are at odds with each other. 1 Timothy 1, a couple pages over, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for an unrighteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. One cannot be lawless with the deeds mentioned and then proclaim to be a Christian at the same time. You know, if one is claiming to be a Christian and yet practice these things that were just mentioned, you know, they will be found out. After a while, a hypocrite may get so good at pretending that he's able to fool those around him. But God states that by your fruits you will know them. And we may not be able to see, but God knows the heart, and he weighs all men. And all men, as it says, will have to stand before his judgment seat. So finally, I'd like to look at what the opposite of being a hypocrite looks like. We've looked at a lot of kind of things that aren't good. Let's look at some good things. James 3, and in verse 17, James says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now, these attributes are not normal for human nature. And that's why he says that this wisdom is from above. These are true attributes, not ones that are put on for show. They're deep felt, meaningful, and they bear good fruits to those who learn to use them. Titus 1 and verse 6. Titus 1 and verse 6, and we'll read to verse 9. "If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Now, these are qualities of a bishop, an elder, an overseer, leader in the church. Yes. But, in essence, this is how we should all be, or learn to become, because we are all called to become kings and priests, leaders. These qualifications, as we see, take practice. They take time to nurture. 1 Timothy 2, verse 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 2, verse 7 and 8. "For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." Paul says he was speaking the truth in Christ, not lying, that he was a teacher in the faith, and that he spoke truth. Now, it comes down to whether or not we are trying to please God, or if we are trying to please ourselves and other men. If we are trying to please men or ourselves, then we will be in the same boat as the Pharisees. But if our lives are in submission to God, if we are trying to please him in all things, then we will be counted worthy. Final scripture is turned to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Read to verse 17. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.